check out our websites. BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels with just a quick message to our viewers to check out our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV, which stands for Christian Answers Television, where we have all of our over 610 videos posted. By going there, you can see all of our videos organized by playlist, categorized by subjects. Once you scroll down past our Bible prophecy trailer at the top of the channel page, the playlist begins. You'll see our recent uploads playlist, followed by our most popular video playlist, followed by our playlist on Jehovah's Witnesses, then Islam, the Muslim religion, then Roman Catholicism, Darwin's metaphysical evolution religion, Seventh-day Adventism, dealing with anti-Trinitarians and early church history, our multiple playlists, which includes God-hating atheists, phony TV preachers and King James onlyists, dealing with UFOs, ghosts, spiritual warfare, our radio shows with national Christian authors and our music biz, the Black Muslims, Louis Farrakhan, and the Nation of Islam, Mormonism, hell, lake of fire, unpopular Bible doctrines, Antichrist, cults, New Age, and world religions. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards, and Spanish videos. End times, supernatural prophecies, and tough Bible questions. And our playlist dealing with predestination, Arminianism, and Calvinism. Our YouTube channel is built to help people learn the Bible and defend their Christian faith against false prophets that come against it from every side. Jude verses 3 and 4. At the time of this recording, our channel has already been blessed with over 6 million viewings and over 10,000 subscribers. And now, for our main video presentation. Our ministry has two newsletters available on the subject of Seventh-day Adventism, and they are free to anyone that sends an email with your mailing address to our ministry email address, cdebater@aol.com. The first newsletter is by former SDA member for 44 years, Wallace Slattery, who wrote the book, Are Seventh-day Adventists False Prophets? While the second newsletter is by Dale Ratzliff, a fourth-generation Seventh-day Adventist and a former SDA pastor for 13 years. Dale has written several books on the SDA, including one called Cultic Doctrine. You can also see all our newsletters online by going to our website, www.biblequery.org. Our ministry has also produced multiple video series with each of these gentlemen, which can be seen on our YouTube channel, See Answers TV, which stands for Christian Answers Television. Look for our playlist there called Dealing with Seventh-day Adventists and Their Prophetess, which has over 20 videos. Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater. You are about to hear a clip from one of our many radio shows broadcast from KIXL AM Radio in Austin, Texas over the years. I was one of the co-hosts for this weekly Christian apologetics and evangelism radio ministry that aired in Austin and surrounding areas. I hope this message is a blessing to you.
And now here's our guest host, Doc Washburn.
Thank you very much. Sitting in for Dale Deloney this evening.
And we're taking calls this evening. We're a live call-in program taking your questions about the Bible and how to defend the Christian faith. So let's take our first call this evening. Stacy is on the line with a question about heaven. Stacy, go right ahead.
Yes. I recently started with a new company, and my boss is also a home pastor located in Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
Now, the church I've been studying with has, before you could get baptized, you had to study like a Revelation seminar and so forth. According to what I was taught, there is no such thing as like heaven or hell, like when you die. They kept saying, is it a just God that came, you know, burned for 6,000 years? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they believe that after Satan is unleashed after the 1,000 years, heaven as we know it comes down to Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
And it parts. God sends down a ball of fire. He cleanses the earth, and we live on heaven on earth.
Let me ask, do you mind sharing with us the name of the church?
Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, Larry, you want to address this?
Well, basically, Stacy, are you still attending the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Or?
No, I was real active in it, and to be completely honest, I started having second thoughts. I had to work a lot, which I was condemned, because if you work on Saturday, which is Sabbath, our church disfellowships you. But when I left the church is when I started feeling, in a sense, like maybe I had been brainwashed, like I wasn't. When I started studying it with my boss, because every day he sends me faxes on scriptures and he's helping me study things,
mm-hmm.
I'm not finding what I was taught, but by the same token, I keep finding the same scriptures that I studied when the Seventh-day Adventists were teaching me their beliefs.
Right.
So I'm confused. I'm seeing two different meanings, both in the regular, I'm reading King James Version. It's
uh-huh.
not like a homemade Bible, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm confused.
Well, there's good reason for that, because the Seventh-day Adventist organization has only been around since about the mid-19th century. You've heard of Ellen G. White.
Yes,
is that
have.
Correct? What were you taught about her in the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
Ellen G. White, if I remember correctly, came in effect in 1844. She's believed to be a prophet or prophetess of the church. Things that are not in the Bible as far as true doctrine are what she set the basis for the church as far as belief.
Right.
Strongly tells us, like, don't cut your hair, don't wear makeup, don't wear jewelry, can't eat pork, you know, all these different guidelines that we have to follow. But my boss keeps faxing me, you are not under the law.
So she came up, in other words, with some teachings which the Seventh-day Adventists hold on a par with scripture?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean that's what I'm saying. I keep studying this, and I think, you know, I'm to the point I'm trying not to throw my hands up, because I don't even know which way to believe, and it's so much easier for me to say, well, if I don't know what to believe, why believe anything? But I know that's not right.
That's true. Well, the one reason I think there's a lot of confusion here, Stacy, is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as you were saying, is really heavily steeped on the theological back of Ellen G. White,
mm-hmm.
and what she saw in the scripture. In other words, her interpretation of what the scripture says. And the problem is, her interpretations do not match up to what the scriptures actually say. And so you're going to get some confusion right off the bat, because how she interprets the Bible is different from what the scripture itself says.
And the Bible itself says that it is not open to private interpretation.
Right.
Right. And she claimed that. David, do you want to say something?
Yeah,
here?
Well, Stacy, this is David. And I'd like, do you have your Bible with you?
I can get it right quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, hang on.
Well, while you're doing that, she's getting the Bible, I just wanted to say a few things about Ellen G. White, or we could talk about Charles Taz Russell, who started the Jehovah's Witnesses, Herbert W. Armstrong, who started the Worldwide Church of God. Okay, let me get back to David here.
Okay, Stacy, turn to Matthew 25, 45, and 46.
Okay, hang on.
And I want to just help you out on the hell business.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to believe, because, I mean, I was always taught, like, whenever you die, your soul stays within, like, the resting place,
mm-hmm.
and...
Well, let's see what Jesus said, and that may fill it.
Okay, Matthew 25...
45 and 46.
Okay.
And then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. in verse 46 is very important. And these will go away into eternal what?
Punishment.
Eternal punishment. And but the righteous into eternal life is the same Greek word. If you don't have eternal life, then you don't have eternal punishment there.
But see, the Seventh-day Adventist, my understanding from what I was taught, was there is no such thing as like eternity, everlasting, or forever.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
Well, how would they deal with these verses is the question.
Yeah, eternity is eternity.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, and I wanted to say also, Stacy, here that, you know, on a radio show, you can't get into detail like we'd really like to do. If you could write Peaceway Productions, we have got all kinds of material that gets back into the Hebrew, the Greek text. See, the problem with Ellen G. White, she wasn't a Hebrew or a Greek scholar, so her interpretations of Scripture didn't match up to what the Jews and the early church originally meant in the original languages and the original autographs of the Bible. So a lot of these interpretations you get will not match up to the original languages as we find when we do any kind of a Greek or Hebrew word study.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all kinds of literature. One thing I'd like to mention, we've had a caller the last couple of weeks that kind of was similar on this topic. I suspect he is in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Also, he's been calling up asking about, the immortality of the soul, indicating basically the same thing that you're talking about here, about there's no heaven, there's no hell. And it's because it's like more or less a conditional immortality.
Right.
And we've gone back and forth the last couple of weeks on different things. But there's an excellent book that I think is the book. It's used as a textbook in many seminaries across the nation. And you can get it through almost any Christian bookstore by just going on down there and asking for the book Death and the Afterlife by Dr. Ron. And it's published by Bethany House Publishers. And it covers Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, immortality of the soul. It gets into the original languages. It answers all the questions and arguments put forth by the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other groups that have these kind of peculiar doctrines. Oh,
yeah.
David, you want to say?
Yeah, and Stacey, there's one more. I'll read it real quick. It's in Revelation 20 and verse 10, and it says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever."
We have that marked in our text, but if you also study with the Revelation Seminar, this is where I get confused, because it starts studying where it says the fire, or the lake of fire, was talking about when Satan is unleashed and he's trying to overpower heaven once again. God sends down the ball of fire to cleanse the earth, and it's like a fire. When your house catches fire, eventually the fire goes out and it returns to ashes.
Well,
this is what they're saying.
Well, that's right. Right. There's a different interpretation with the text, but the words are forever and ever, and I don't see how they get out of that. It just says forever and ever.
I'd like to also buttress that a little bit with, and this is where I get back to what I was talking about in the original Hebrew and Greek text, the Koine Greek of the New Testament, for instance. The King James, sometimes, it's written hundreds of years ago, and sometimes, the words change a little bit of meaning, and it's a little harder to understand.
In the English language.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And if we take a passage like 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and King James, it'll say, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." But as you look into more modern translations, I've got a New American Standard here, and you can get an NIV or almost any other translation, more modern with better manuscripts. It says, "Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." And as you get into the Greek text there, and in some of the other translations, it'll say, "The Lord knows how to keep the unrighteous in punishment," or holding them until judgment day. He's holding them under punishment until judgment day. That's what the literal Greek says. And I've heard a lot of debates, Seventh-day Adventists taking on evangelical Christian scholars, and every time they get to this passage, the Seventh-day Adventist has real trouble, because he can't handle the Greek text there, which shows that God is going to hold the wicked in, holding them in punishment until the judgment day.
This is Doc again. I'm sitting in for Dale Deloney, who's usually the host. I just want to share with you three scriptures just briefly, one of which Dave touched on earlier. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But if we confess our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us, regardless of what the Seventh-day Adventists say or any other church for that matter. Now, also in the Old Testament, and I don't know where it is, but you can get a concordance and look it up, God says, if you seek me, I will let you find me. Now, I think probably all of us sitting here in this room talking to you this evening have at some point in our lives believed things which we found out later were not scriptural. But, you know, God gave us the grace to let us find him. And the other thing I would share with you out of the first chapter of James is it's a good thing to ask God for wisdom.
Right.
There are people today who have been confused and in all kinds of error at one point or another in their lives, and they got to the point where they realized, well, I got to go over the guru's head, or I've got to go over the Revelation seminar leader's head or whatever, and just go directly to God and say, Lord, this is confusing me, and I need your help.
But see, my confusion with that is that, you know, like with my church right now, in a sense, I'm being condemned.
Yeah.
Because I'm not following their belief. That the more that I study, is the further I'm saying, wait a minute, this isn't right. But
yeah.
Then by the same token, I feel like if I'm being condemned, I feel like I'm already condemned. So I don't know, if I don't study, what do I believe?
Because well, let me see if I can clarify this just a little and put it in a little simpler terms, not getting into all the biblical theology and technology, so to speak. But we're talking about interpretations of the scripture that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has passed down to you through the graces of Ellen G. White, the prophetess. And I think it's interesting to note that if she is not a true prophetess, then her interpretations of the scripture could be called into doubt at the same time. And I would bring to your attention, and these are well documented. In fact, anyone that doubts what I'm about to say here can write Peaceway Productions at the address which is given many times, and we'll provide the documentation. And you as well, Stacy. But Ellen G. White said things like, if you wear wigs, it'll overheat your brain. Now, this is an inspired prophetess. She said that there was a something called amalgamation, and where she stated that animals and men interbred with each other, which caused inferior races of men, such as Africans, Indians, etc. So, and she taught things, well, there's some things on here I really don't want to read over the air here, but she also said things like, after October 22nd, 1844,
the world comes to an end.
The door is shut, and no one can accept Christ. Now, that puts all of us right now in a big, big jam, because I think it's after 1844.
Well, what she's meaning is they thought that the world was going to end in 1844, because if you study when the church began, like there's I forget the name of it, Seventh-day First Church used to be assembly as part of the Seventh-day Adventists, which is at the time when they thought the world was going to end. That's when everybody got together and started these beliefs.
Now,
and so
good, then you know you're aware of these things. Also, how she said she prophesied in 1856 that some of her co-workers would be alive when Christ returned to the earth. So I think it's been a little long.
Like it makes her a false prophet.
Yeah, if you go to Deuteronomy 18 and Deuteronomy 13, you have the scriptural way to recognize a false prophet. And if she qualifies as that, which we believe she does, and there's an excellent book you can also get at the Christian bookstores called Our Seventh-day Adventist False Prophets, A Former Insider Speaks Out by Wallace D. Slattery, put out by Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing Company. He has this incredibly well documented. I think he was in the Seventh-day Adventist movement for over 30 years. He's got all of Ellen G. White's teachings and readings and how she plagiarized most of the work from a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, as Doc was just saying, the scripture exposes her, I believe, and her teachings to being that of a false prophet, which means in Deuteronomy 18, we're to take note, we shouldn't put any stock in what she has to say.
If I can share with you, too, our Bible answer man here, for want of a better term, has just found for me the scripture that I was looking for in the Old Testament. And it says, it's three verses, I give it to you specifically. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So what I'm trying to hold out to you, the other fellows here are I think giving pretty specific reference to the errors of the Seventh-day Adventist belief. And what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, if you seek the Lord with your whole heart, He is able and He is strong enough to lead you out of this error. And, you know, whether we ever meet you or you ever go to any of our churches or not, it is not the point. But the point is He is able to lead you out of this error, and the Bible says He is able to lead you into all truth. And
because I'm condemned by the church does not mean I'm condemned by God.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
Absolutely.
How I feel, because, I mean, like, I can't help that sometimes I have to work on Saturdays, you know.
Right.
I don't think that's a sin, because by the same token, you know, I've gotten rid of, like, my TV and all these other things where all I do is pretty much listen to this radio station or, you know, do my own study, you know, and then
right.
I talk with my boss. But I don't think I'm sinning, because I'm trying my hardest to focus, but yet I get phone calls and visits from the church basically being condemned and told, I've already had the first visit from the pastor, and because of the role that I used to play in the church, now I've got two more, and then I'll be disfellowshipped. And I was always taught, if you're disfellowshipped from the church, then you're disfellowshipped from God. And it's like, you know.
Well, see, this is a cultic tendency. You find this in Jehovah's Witnesses and many other groups. They try to make it like if you leave their group, suddenly you're ostracized from God Himself, and you're just, you know, you're just turned over to Satan, basically. And you shouldn't fear that. In fact, my own opinion is that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a cultic organization, and that it would be better for you to be excommunicated and meet with the fellowship of true believers who don't follow these legalistic rules. I want to back that up with Colossians chapter 2, just for your own sake, to read this in the Bible. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." And if you go to Romans chapter 14, you have the same thing. Just read the whole chapter of Romans 14, and you have there a condemnation of people that put the onus on you for not going on a Sabbath day, or you've got to do this, or don't watch TV, or don't do that, or do that. Well, read those Colossians 2 and read Romans 14. You'll find that that just doesn't match up with Scripture, what they're telling you.
And if I could share with you just briefly from Romans 8, starting with the first verse, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There's nowhere in the Bible where it says you can't have a television, or for that matter, you have to get baptized to be saved or anything like that. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists do hold that, right? That you have to be baptized?
Yeah, you have to go through a Revelation seminar in order to be baptized. But even for that, other churches I visited, I remember, like, when I was growing up, I went to Church of Christ, and I visited a Baptist church.
Yeah.
I was 12 years old, and during the invitation, they yanked me out of my chair and made me be baptized because they told me I was going to hell for visiting another religion.
Well, I just
it's a cultic tendency.
We got to move on to the next call, but I just want to tell you real briefly that Jesus told the thief on the cross, "This day you will be with me in paradise." And I guarantee you, He didn't have time to get him down off the cross and baptize him. I mean, the Bible says repent and be baptized, but it nowhere says you're not going to get saved if you aren't baptized.
Right. And Stacy, if you need more information, please write. We'll send you free all the literature you'd want on these different things we've discussed today.
They can give you as much information as you need.
I appreciate it.
God bless you, Stacy. We will be praying for you.
Yes.
And believe God, He is able to lead you into all truth, and ask Him for wisdom.
Well, right now I don't really know what I believe, but I know that I am searching.
Well, just know that Jesus loves you, and He is able to get you to the point that He wants you to be at.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Good evening.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this radio broadcast concerning Seventh-day Adventism. For those who want to learn more about this cultic religion built on Ellen G. White, please go to our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV, and scroll down the channel page and click on the title to our playlist, quote, "Dealing with Seventh-day Adventism and Their Prophetess," end quote, with over 24 videos. See also the comments section
under this video for extensive refutations of Seventh-day Adventism with many useful links as well. Study to show thyself approved, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Many do not know, for instance, that Seventh-day Adventists are taught that Satan is the final sin-bearer for their sins. Beware of false prophets. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian debater. And I'd like to let you know that free newsletters are available from our ministry. Just email us at cdebater@aol.com and give us your mailing address and we'll mail them out to you for free. You can also call us at 512-218-8022 and leave your address there. You can also access all our newsletters online by going to one of our three websites called BibleQuery.org. Once on the homepage, simply click on the experience box and then scroll down to the newsletter section as shown here. Since our number one most watched video of the over 548 videos we have produced for YouTube at the time of this recording is Unpopular Bible Doctrines number one, The Biblical God No One Wants to Know, with over 433,000 viewings, our latest newsletter is called Unpopular Topic, How Sovereign is God? Our second most viewed YouTube video is 6-year-old wife of Muhammad was okay by the Muslim God Allah, but not by the biblical God of Jesus, with over 341,000 viewings. We also have three newsletters available on Islam. Our video, Debate, Larry Wessels versus Two Jehovah's Witnesses at a University Study Center, currently has close to 150,000 views. See our newsletter on the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses, Deceive Deceivers. Our video, Is Jesus God Almighty in the Flesh, meaning the second person of the Trinity, or is he something else, has over 101,000 viewings. See our newsletter, Testimony to the Eternal Godhead, the Trinity. Our video, Biography, the famous 19th century Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a man of God, has close to 89,000 views. See two of our newsletters with lead articles from sermons by Spurgeon. Our video, UFOs, Ancient Aliens, or Beings of the Fourth Dimension, number one, Fact or Fiction, has over 207,000 viewings. Not only do UFOs and the occult use the same disciplines, such as levitation, teleportation of objects, psychokinesis, clairvoyance, automatic writing, and telepathy, but their theologies are completely foreign to biblical Christianity. UFO theologies include everything from reincarnation and evolution to man achieving cosmic godhood, but they do not include Jesus Christ as the only mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. We have two newsletters related to the world of the occult, to which UFOs are a part. Our video, Former Roman Catholic Bride of Christ Nun Testifies of Abnormal Life in the Convent, has over 67,000 viewings. Our video featuring former Roman Catholic Rob Zins, who has a Master of Theology from Dallas Theological Seminary, Historical Split Between Roman Catholicism and the Christ of the Scripture, Man's Word or God's Word, has over 53,000 viewings. See our two newsletters on the subject of Roman Catholicism. Our video, Cult of Ellen G. White, number one, Beginnings of the 19th Century Religion, called Seventh-day Adventism, has over 48,000 viewings and features former Seventh-day Adventist Wallace Slattery, who has 44 years' experience with this religion. Our playlist, called Dealing with Seventh-day Adventism and Their Prophetess, features 15 videos with 14 hours of material. See our newsletter, Seventh-day Adventism, True or False. For theological music lovers, see our video, Favorite Old-Time Christian Bluegrass Gospel Music, Psalm 98, verses 4 and 5, with over 214,000 viewings. We have also posted several music videos by my own daughter, Marlena Wessels, from her CD, Win This Fight, songs she has written and performed herself. To see our music videos, please go to our main YouTube channel page. Scroll down to our multiple playlists. Arrow over to our playlist called Our Radio Shows with National Christian Authors and Music Vids. Once there, scroll down to the bottom of the playlist where the music videos are listed. I could go on and on, but this should be sufficient for now. Don't forget to check out our main YouTube channel, See Answers TV, which stands for Christian Answers Television, also which has over 19 playlists by topic as you scroll down our channel page.